Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swear for the Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm off to the footy tonight.
As am I.
I forgot I invited you.
Yes.
We're both off to the bloody footy.
Yeah, I was originally just going to go to a pub with some friends of mine.
And El Fakador.
But plans have since changed because you've got to win a bloody competition, mate.
I won a bloody competition yesterday. I entered it at 6:30 a.m. Tuesday morning while I was watching Raw.
I can't believe you didn't tell me about this until it had already closed. Therefore, not allowing me to enter.
Hey, you got a ticket in the end because a few of my friends backed out. And you were like, yeah, you were like number five or something. But yes, it's a Hyde Park screening, which I would argue is London's equivalent to Central Park.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Probably. And, oh, actually, Hyde Park's a way away.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah, like where Central Park is like very central in the middle of New York, Hyde Park is not quite that central.
Yeah, but it's still great. And 30,000 people have been like chosen by ballot, completely random. I was lucky enough to get in with four tickets.
It was like the finger snap.
Yeah, and on their large, massive screen, they're going to be playing the semi-final of England taking on Croatia in the World Cup.
Absolutely.
And the thing I'm more excited about, because I'm not a big... I used to be a big football fan between the age of, like, 12 and 15. I was more of a football fan than wrestling in some of those years. But then I haven't followed it for a decade and a half, which makes me feel a bit bad that my friends who genuinely love football and watch it all the time didn't get the tickets and I did. But it's also kind of funny.
Yeah.
And one of them's coming with us anyway. But yes... The Lightning Seeds are going to be there doing a live performance before the kickoff of Three Lions.
But do we know if they're playing just Three Lions, or are they going to do like some other Lightning Seed songs and then end with Three Lions? Or maybe start and end with it. I bet you'd be Dylan Skinner are there.
I hope so. That would be bloody special.
I bet
bloody,
you they
bloody,
are.
Bloody.
It'll be bloody, bloody special.
Or maybe they just swerve us and they do new stuff.
That's
and they don't
see,
sing
yeah.
Three Lions. I'm hoping they'll do Three Lions, mm-hmm. and then we being the Royal English we,
yep.
because I'm in the football team as well.
Mm-hmm.
They perform after when we win.
Well, obviously, because it is coming home, so it is high likely that they will be singing It's Coming Home. They'll be singing Three Lions afterwards.
People saying It's Coming Home is annoying.
It's most
annoying when my parents do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I
didn't
know
why. I think it's quite fun. My mum is well into the World Cup at the moment. She absolutely loves it.
It's a pretty mainstream thing to do. And me and you are, of course, we sit on the sidelines in our little, like, sort of niche interest areas. And then the whole country gets swept up in football mania. And I've got to say, I've been swept along with them.
Well, it is.
When we won the Colombia game.
Yeah, I mean, I I was listening to a podcast today that were very much making jokes about the fact that, God, the media have been very quiet on reporting about the World Cup, haven't they?
Sarcasm!
It is a little bit. But I've been really, really swept up in this. And it was... because I missed the first couple of games because I was either working or I was driving my wife somewhere or I was doing other things. I was always out when the game was on. And I was like, I was really starting to get a bit pissed off about it. And I said to my wife, I was like, I'd really love to just sit down and watch an England game. I was like, that's what I really want to do. I really want to sit down and watch an England game. And the first opportunity I got was the Panama game. And then just before it started, we had to go out and I had to drive her somewhere. So I missed the first half of the football. And then I got back and I basically caught the last 20 minutes of the game, which were dreadfully boring because we just parked the bus. And I was like, this is all I've seen. And then I watched the Belgian, and then I got to see the Belgian game where we were absolutely shocking because we didn't put out a full squad. And I was like, I've done very poor with watching the England games here because the first two games were apparently fantastic. And I missed all that, or at least the first game and a half, and I've missed all that. But then, man, during the Colombia game, I was all over it. Like white on rice, I was all like a tramp on ships, as Nick Hewer on The Apprentice used to say. I was all over it, and I was so into it, and I was well into the penalties, and I loved it. And then playing the Swedes on Saturday, I had my in-laws and my parents over so we could watch it like a big bloody family.
On your IKEA furniture.
On my IKEA... Actually, the TV was on IKEA furniture.
Come on, yeah. Everyone has some item from IKEA in their house.
Oh, I've got multiple IKEA furniture, yeah. But I was thinking my sofa's from Asda, which is American.
George.
But my TV unit is from IKEA. And I just had a bloody great time. And then we had a barbecue afterwards, and it was bloody brilliant. So I'm well swept up in it at the moment.
I was quite taken by how attractive everyone from Sweden is, going by the crowd shots.
It's an attractive country, man. Yeah. My brother used to live there, so I've been there several times.
Brought the average down a bit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Big woodsman that he is. And it is a very beautiful country, full of lots of beautiful people.
I didn't watch any of the first round games because I don't care. I haven't liked football for a long time. Not that I don't like football, but I've just not followed it because there's too much heartbreak, especially the national team. I used to be obsessed about it as a teenager, where I'd cry if England lost. And I thought, grow up, Ollie. Leave this stuff behind. Nothing should make you cry anymore.
Did you used to get the little figurines with the massive heads?
Massive heads. I had Terry Venables.
Ah, yeah. I got all the ones from Sainsbury's.
I feel like Terry Venables is my Kevin Kelly. But the coins?
Yeah, the coins from
petrol stations.
Euro 96 and World Cup 98.
Of course, Panini sticker books.
Oh, I love Panini sticker books. Well, Euro 96 was like, that was my peak England fandom. Of like so into football, so into the England team, and I was in Guernsey on a school trip during that fateful penalty shootout where Gareth Southgate missed it.
It's come good.
It has come good, man. It's like full circle. And I was there. I was in a tent listening to it on a radio, which makes it very difficult to know what's happened because you just hear thump and then a big reaction, and you don't. Commentators don't say he's missed or he's scored. You just hear a crowd reaction. People are cheering. Because he's bloody missed, and it's the other team that are cheering, not Southgate.
In the early days of Red Button, I used to be such a hipster where I would change the commentary to the radio commentary. Because I enjoyed the radio commentary more than the actual television stuff, because I still think TV
you say that
is pretty rubbish.
My dad still does that.
Does he? I'm not alone.
Yeah, my dad does that because he can't stand the commentary, which is understandable because commentary is usually very bad on TV, particularly ITV when you've got Clive Tilsdale, who is just, how he has had such a long career as a football commentator is astounding. He's awful at it.
But radio is very descriptive and they always have to talk because... people are listening to it on the radio. They need to know what's happening.
Can't leave dead air.
But like, yeah. I mean, I never really made that connection between now and commentary on WWE and how bad it is. Now, I wish there was a radio version where they described every move.
It's funny that you say that WWE commentary and how bad it is. But you and I have recently just been watching TNA Destination X for our Patreon podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra. And... I mean, Michael Cole is being a robot and reacting, but at least he's reacting.
So we can't be too mean because that wasn't the usual broadcast team. Taz was, quote, on assignment, so Mike Tenay was paired up with Jeremy Borash. and they kind of cancelled each other out.
Because they sound the same.
Play-by-play guy, yeah. So, you know, you would expect Taz to riff off a few bits, but...
What is that, a goof? As the Attitude Era podcast would often say. But anyway, we are running out of time, so I'm going to get through one bit of correspondence before we get into the outro, or until we get into the main show, I should say. Because I know you actually want to listen to the main show.
Oh, yeah.
And then listen to the outro.
I forget that there's a SmackDown review
So
coming.
Do I, because we recorded this in one big chunk. And quite a long intro for the SmackDown review this week, because we are talking about Rusev and his push. And then we get into... It's usually the intro for a SmackDown review is about 8 or 9 minutes. It's about 20 minutes, this intro.
I just had a much better idea for the title of the Wrestle Ramble.
Oh, well, we did now. We haven't finished loading it yet.
Yeah, but I say it in the start of the thing.
Oh, okay.
Has Rusev missed his day?
I've seen that for the podcast. We've got this email in from George. How WrestleTalk brought me out of fan retirement.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
My name is George, I'm 22 years old, and I live in California, and I am a proud after-swafter. So,
nice.
An after-swafter is someone who watches the show on YouTube and then comes and listens to the podcast just for the intro and outro.
It's given us all the clicks. That's all that's the most ad revenue we can get out of a single person.
George is my kind of guy.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that you wanted us to send in our stories about how we discovered WrestleTalk, and I wanted to share mine. As a kid, I was a big fan of WWE, but being Hispanic, my family only wanted me to see AAA Lucha Libre, because it was what they called, quote, real lucha. But I would sneak my occasional episode of Raw and SmackDown on Fridays, and my favorite wrestler was Edge. Everything about him was cool to me. As I got older, I stopped watching wrestling, as most do. I do remember giving it a chance later in life, but as I found out Edge had retired, it didn't seem interesting to me. Then, after WrestleMania 33, I found out about the Hardys returning, and I actually went on YouTube to look up, quote, Hardy return reactions from the fans at home, when I stumbled upon a recommended video that was WrestleTalk's WrestleMania 33 review with broken Matt Hardy as the thumbnail. That took me into a rabbit hole, for that was the WrestleTalk YouTube channel. I like the sense of humor of both you and Ollie. That's actually my first videos on WrestleTalk in the new era.
Of course,
with WrestleMania 33 is when we started doing the Wrestle Ramble.
Wow, it seems a lot longer.
Doesn't it,
in the nicest possible way.
Thank you very much. I like the sense of humor of both you and Ollie, as well as the consistency of the videos. It seemed like every video I was having a conversation with two of my wrestling loving buddies. Nowadays, I've grown just past 1 year with you guys. Loved living through such events as the Wonder Rolly reveal, Luke's epic rant on Randy beating Jinder Mahal clean when he was the champion on SmackDown. God, do you remember that? The Owens wedding, and the most recent landmark, the beginning of Ollie's training for a marathon. Anyways, this email has probably gone a bit too long, so I just want to say keep up the great work, fellas. You make me proud to call myself a part of the Swift Nation, although he has written Swift Nation, which seems to me like it was probably an autocorrect. Sincerely, George. Well, thank you very much, George. That
eloquently read as well.
I didn't do the best job, but I... It's not as easy as it looks, you know.
I like how he included all those landmarks, but kind of left off when we passed 500,000 subscribers, when we were infiltrated by Fakeador.
Yeah, well, I think he's gone for the more important ones.
Yeah, okay.
My epic rant about Randy Orton beating Jinder Mahal. You know, who could forget such a thing?
It's not in my top 10, but it was memorable.
But anyway, we have gone past Ollie's required 10 minutes of the intro.
What time is this?
It's 12 minutes 43.
It's not too bad.
But we'll see you after the SmackDown review.
Well, don't worry. We're not being doomsayers. We're just merely pointing out that about 4 months ago, Rusev was the most overact in the company. Rusev Day chants erupted not just in his matches whenever he came out, but in other people's matches, on other shows, at independent shows, in NXT, on Raw. And now, it's kind of like 2-3 months too late that he's finally getting this push that he quite frankly deserved as of last year when he was out with injury for a while and he only came back, I think it was for the pay-per-view after Money in the Bank last year, which apparently he was originally planned to win that ladder match, but then they went for the Jinder Mahal idea and he got bumped down the card. But he's managed to get himself over in the interim, and now he's challenging for the WWE title, a sort of position we all didn't see coming, but were pleasantly surprised by, and we're really happy for him. It's just, I personally do not at all buy into Rusev by beating AJ Styles this weekend, and for me, that's a problem.
I do agree with you that there is, I've no doubt that AJ is retaining this weekend. However, what I will say is I've really enjoyed SmackDown these last few weeks. I really enjoyed last week's show, and I really, really enjoyed this week's show as well. And I thought that they've done some really good, effective build to the AJ and Rusev match. I think they've really gone out of their way to try and make Rusev feel like a credible threat. And I think they've also done a really good job of balancing the comedy of Rusev Day with him being a credible threat to the WWE Championship. It's not going to win. They've not done the point where I'm like, oh, I think he might win. But I think they've done enough job where I'm like, yeah, this doesn't feel like a throwaway filler match. I think they have actually, like, it is a filler match, but I think they've done enough to make you feel like it's, make it feel like it's not a filler match.
So
it's coming in the middle of the card.
Yeah, I disagree. I totally agree on the point that they have struck the perfect balance between the comedy of Rusev Day and Rusev Day also being a badass thing. That's remarkable how they've managed to do that. And to be honest, it's really needed, because you can't just... It jars if he's all of a sudden this badass after being a comedy figure for a while. So this is the perfect transition. And I hope they keep him there, and then slowly, like, you know, 6 months down the line, he's full-on destroyer mode again, full-on crush. But I don't think they've done an effective job of building Rusev as a credible opponent, because, mm-hmm. as we both just said, neither of us believes that he's going to win. I don't think anybody believes he's going to win. It's not like I'm really looking forward to a Rusev-AJ Styles match. I am, because I like both guys, but nothing beyond that is making me intrigued about it. Like, the story isn't. The result, I feel like, is already written on the wall. Of course, WWE could do a big swerve and Rusev wins, and then everyone can say, haha, look, you're wrong. But that doesn't really work that way, because the idea would be WWE... lay those seeds beforehand and position both guys as equal contenders for the title, and this is just bad storytelling I think they could have done a lot more to position Rusev as an actual number one contender.
I think this is one of these months where this is very much a filler feud and a, you know, filler time, because SmackDown is being built around the reunion of Team Hell No. It's been built around Daniel Bryan, so the WWE Championship has taken a back seat to Daniel Bryan and Kane. So I don't think you want to try and overshadow that too much. You know, you want to try and be like...
Why can't you have everything good, though?
Well, ask WWE.
Like, but as fun as the Kane-Daniel Bryan close was for this show, it's hardly the hot go-home angle of one guy trying to do the other guy's pyro. What if Rusev absolutely went crazy and this was the moment he dropped all the comedy stuff and he beat the crap out of AJ?
But I that's where I'll disagree, because I do think they've done a really good job of, as I said, balancing the comedy. And I this is a filler feud, and I'm not going to dispute that. There is no way Rusev is winning this Sunday. I'm not going to dispute that either. Having said that, I said the same thing at Battleground last year with Jinder Mahal. Look how that turned out. Or was it Backlash? Whichever one it was. It's probably Backlash.
It's always Backlash.
But... what I will say is I give them some credit for making this feud not feel too much like a mid-card filler feud. I think that they have made Rusev feel like he is on AJ's level, and this is like a good push up into the main event for Rusev. Granted, come next month, he might be way back down again, because they might bring in Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe and AJ go towards SummerSlam, and they make that a bigger program than they are with Rusev.
Do you know where Samoa Joe was this week?
I do not.
Beating up Ty Dillinger on WWE.com before the show. What? Remember about a month ago when we were like, oh my god, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, this is your main event scene. Build the whole promotion around these four guys. That's incredible. It's like a Ring of Honor dream from 5 years ago come to life.
They haven't done that.
Well, that's because I believe Ty Dillon has been calling out Samoa Joe on Twitter.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
But again, like this, but we, I mean, I talked about this with Faye Collie last week. One of the other reasons I like SmackDown is that they do a really good job of cycling in guys and cycling them out again, so you don't just get overexposed to them. What we were talking about yesterday with Roman Reigns, him being on TV every week does him no favors because everyone just gets sick of the sight of him. But like Joe hasn't been on TV for a while, you keep him away, and then once you've got an open spot for him, it's the same with the Bar. Like the Bar haven't been around for ages because there's nothing for them. So rather than just have them on TV having pointless matches, a la Ember Moon versus Liv Morgan, a la Mojo Rawley versus No Way Jose, you kind of keep them off TV for a while, and then you bring them back and you put them into a program.
I totally get that, and I agree. But I worry that because SmackDown, and I am enjoying SmackDown right now, and I am happy Rusev's in this AJ Styles match, and I'm really enjoying Team Hell No and everything, but SmackDown right now still isn't the pinnacle of wrestling storytelling. I think the fact that they haven't got anything for Cesaro and Sheamus...
Are you expecting WWE to be the pinnacle of...
I'm just like, what SmackDown's done is it's raised my conditions for what a WWE show should be. So I thought this week was very, very good. I enjoyed it. But now that's average. That's like the normal level a WWE show should be. And then if it's really good, it's 4 out of 5. If it's an all-time classic, it's 5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. But before, you know, like maybe last year, if SmackDown put on this show, I'd be saying this was a 4 out of 5. But just because they've been so good consistently, we can raise our expectations a bit more.
So not to give too many spoilers away, but you've given this a 3 out of 5.
I would give this an average smack bang in the middle.
Interesting.
Rating.
I give it a high smacktastic.
Well, yeah, that's because you're easily impressed. But the fact that
tell that to YouTube.
The fact that Cesaro, I thought it was fine, and Sheamus don't have anything at the moment. That isn't all. Oh, I'm keeping these guys fresh. I'm going to bring these back. That's insanity. Like, you should bring people in and keep that plate spinning over the weeks, not have them on TV every week, but at least have them there. It's an oversight, a bad oversight, that some key people have been left off the card.
Well, I think it's a testament to how deep SmackDown's roster yes. depth is, in that they haven't been on TV for weeks, but it's not felt like, God, there's been a lot of filler that the Bar really could have slotted in there. Like, every match on here, with the exception of the Almas match, every match on here, you're like, yeah, this is why this is on TV at the moment. This is why, because we're doing all of this to build towards Extreme Rules. Whereas you can't say that on Raw, what did Ember Moon and Liv Morgan, what did that build towards? What did No Way Jose measure? What did that build towards? Like, this SmackDown doesn't often have filler guff. And that's fine with me. I like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing. I think that every match on here, with the exception of the Almas match, built towards Extreme Rules. And I thought it was a very good and effective go-home show. I said this last week, and I'll say it again this week. I'm more excited for the SmackDown matches at Extreme Rules than I am the Raw matches, because I think SmackDown has done a better job of building towards their matches at Extreme Rules than Raw has.
Definitely, definitely agree. And I am really enjoying SmackDown at the moment. I'm just, you know, with raised expectations comes raised criticism. I want it to be the best it can be. But back to Rusev and AJ Styles.
9 minutes later.
So the way the show that they told their stuff was, it was another Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles match,
yeah.
Which Todd kept on putting over and promoting as a WrestleMania rematch.
Ignoring all of the other rematches they've also had.
Like, this was the first time since.
Well, I know. I mean, I said it in the SmackDown review, but it feels like WWE have just gone out of their way to make this matchup feel not special at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll want it. You want this match so bad, we're going to hold off for a year, then we're going to give it all.
All of it. I mean, I think this is like the 7th match they've
I was
had
trying to, yeah.
since WrestleMania.
SmackDown. So there was WrestleMania, there yep. was a SmackDown match, maybe 2 SmackDown matches.
No, there was definitely one, which yeah, was the one to the stipulation for Money in the Bank.
There was Greatest Backlash, Royal Greatest Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and then this one. So I think they've had 6 matches this year all on that have been televised.
Mm.
And I was thinking about this on the way here. It's incredible to think that when they had that Wrestle Kingdom match, that was the first time they'd ever met in the ring. And then at WrestleMania, that was the second time they'd ever had a match together. And here we are, you know, only a few weeks out from WrestleMania, or, you know, a couple of months out from WrestleMania, and we're like, man, I don't want to see this match again. I could definitely go without seeing this match again for a little while.
Super serve content. Yeah. But it is a testament to both guys that even though this has been flogged a bit over the last few months, they still can come up with some spots that really get me into the match
yep.
that they haven't done before. So it was just it was a normal match, which is of a higher quality than everyone else because they're such technically proficient workers. And this was Nakamura's return from a dog bite back into the ring.
Yeah.
Well done, Nax. And there was this bit where Shinsuke goes for the exploder, but AJ flips out of it. And then he does, on the ropes, Nakamura's come on motion.
Yeah.
And that really got the crowd into it. It got me into it. And then a few spots later, AJ Styles punches Aiden English. Then Nakamura accidentally hits English with the Kinshasa. Rusev was on commentary throughout this, so he got involved. And Shinsuke and Rusev were going to beat down AJ. And Jeff Hardy ran down for the save. Holla, holla.
It's a tag match, players.
Paige decreed. So I've just written here, why bother doing that Nakamura-AJ match at all? Why not just have the tag match?
Because they had promoted it on social media, which is the way to get people to watch TV. They promoted it on social media as a WrestleMania rematch. So it was a way to entice people into tuning into SmackDown because, whoa, I've not been watching wrestling, but I get to see a WrestleMania rematch if I tune into this week's episode. Because SmackDown numbers have been decreasingly going down over the last few weeks. Like, they've been dropping viewership numbers. So it almost feels like this is one of those things to be like, guys, if you tune in tonight, though, you're going to see a WrestleMania rematch, trying to build in those people that have been tuning out of SmackDown as of late.
So I'm hoping you're playing the WWE mindset thing here. You don't agree with this.
Yes.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah, I'm just playing the WWE mindset things, yeah.
What would that be called? The Bruce. I'm just Bruce-ing it up
I'm just being a Pritchard, all right?
I'm just being an absolute Pritchard here. Something to bias with. Have we talked about something to bias with?
No, that's
with?
Been a Patreon thing.
Yeah, Luke had a very... really made me laugh by calling something to wrestle with something to bias with.
Yeah, you go to him for his non-biased opinions.
So you're just Bruce-ing that up there. How many people commented Schlam yesterday? I checked.
That went over really well.
Did it?
I think that the two things that people really picked up on yesterday, Schlam... I have three things. Schlam, I was too negative... And apparently...
What's new?
Well, yeah, what else is new, I guess. And apparently three, in America, sheep shagging is a Scottish stereotype. And someone who was from Wales commented, saying that in Wales, if someone says to a Welshman, oh, you're a sheep shagger, it's like, no, you're thinking of Scotland, mate. It's a Scottish stereotype to the Welsh. I think that the awful, and it is an awful stereotype, which I don't particularly like and agree with, but apparently, you know, if you are an Englishman and you say, oh, to the Welsh, you're a sheep shagger, we're the only people that do that.
Huh.
So
well.
It was a good old lesson, really, for us in, you know,
cultures are different.
Culture, stereotyping cultures.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to hear.
Although,
to those people who did say that we just agreed with that stereotype, and we were just talking about the stereotype, then say I thought it was a good stereotype.
Although when I did venture to Italy last week in my quest to Byron Saxton, everyone does genuinely talk like this, with their hands doing big movements. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of Italian TV, because I love foreign TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clue what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And there was just this... A lot of shows with people doing big hair movements like they're in The Sopranos all the time. What are you talking about?
So, very nice.
Yeah, some stereotypes are there because platitudes come from a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So back to this. Yeah, Paige came to... Rusev had a promo before this singles match as well. And I just noticed he looks in incredible shape.
His
shoulders and his upper body is really...
He is in WWE Championship match shape.
Yeah.
He is in a shape that Vince would like.
Mm.
I actually thought that Rusev was the shining star of this match, and he wasn't even involved. He was on commentary, and he was just being hilarious.
So funny.
It was great. There was a point when Corey Graves said, AJ's been really training for this match. He's been going to the gym a lot, and he's been drinking milk. And Rusev just goes, ha-ha, milk is for babies.
Yeah, and there was another line about, I'm going to butcher it, but it was... something about AJ being an open book.
Well, he said it goes, I know all of his moves. I know all of his combos. I've read his playbook. I go to the library loads.
Rusev's... And again, like, he can switch from that comedy stuff to being genuinely intimidating. Something like Kurt Angle was the best at, in my opinion, ever.
Yeah.
He can do goofy comedy and then be the scariest man. Like, legit credible... A legit credible winner. So, yes, this did turn into... a tag match between Nakamura and Rusev against AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, which mostly felt like an Extreme Rules promo again.
Yeah, I mean, this really was there just to hype up the fact that, you know, these four men are going to be facing in two different matches at Extreme Rules.
But I meant, like, literally, and the shrink screen.
And he did the shrink screen as well. Yeah. I mean, it was a very short match because the AJ Nakamura match went through two commercial breaks. So this was like three segments, essentially, you know, from the tag match, from the singles match through to the end of this tag match. So it went quite a long time. And I'm glad then that the tag match didn't run too long. And eventually, AJ Styles was running wild. I did it again. Hardy was running wild and he hit the Twist of Fate on Rusev. He went up top to do the Swanton Bomb. Nakamura crotched him. He fell down. Match could kick and Rusev won. So I thought it really, you know, credibly built Rusev as a, you know, he's the winningest guy in this on this night going into his championship match. He's going in with momentum. And it doesn't really hurt Hardy because he was running wild. He did hit the Twist Fate. He was going to hit the Swanton, but he was at a 2-on-1 disadvantage, and that's why he lost.
And it builds the US title match with Nakamura and Hardy. So that was neat. Yeah. I just felt like, and sure, Rusev won, but I felt like they needed to do more to make me buy into Rusev winning. And to answer the question that we initially posed, just imagine if this was, like we said, 4 months ago, and Rusev had all that big crowd reaction and everyone was so into Rusev Day, just like looking for chances to say Rusev Day, and all he needed to do was win a match then. And then everyone would have been into it. But now, 4 months later, I think you needed a proper beatdown angle of Rusev snapping.
But it's typical WWE, really, in where something organically gets over and the crowd really buy into it, but WWE at that point are not ready to push that person. Zack Ryder is a great example. When he had Z True Long Island Story, you know, he was like, that was so over when he was doing those videos. And Zack Ryder was so over that he was getting chanced throughout matches that he wasn't involved in.
Rock's comeback match.
Yeah, like any time that someone was laying down an open challenge, people were hoping it was going to be Ryder. But WWE just did not want to push him, to the point when they did a show in New Jersey, in his hometown, and didn't book him on the show. Just like, it's almost like they felt they were doing it out of spite, really. And then you look at Daniel Bryan, when Yes was really getting over, and he was getting over as a babyface, and they weren't ready to push him. To the point when, and this is my favourite thing, I was reminded of this quite recently. Do you remember that WWE tried to make out that Daniel Bryan wasn't over, but Yes was over? So they just started giving Yes to other people.
Big Show.
Stephanie McMahon was given the Yes chant, and she was doing it in the middle of the ring. They gave it to Alberto Del Rio. It's like, oh yeah, he does C. That's his chant now. It's not Daniel Bryan's chant. The only reason Daniel Bryan was in the main event of WrestleMania 30, as by his own words, because they were left with no other choice, because everything fell apart when CM Punk left.
I'm surprised we didn't get a Jinder Day then, or other iterations of the day to try and transfer that Rusev Day heat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
SmackDown opened, though, with The Miz and a Miz TV segment, and he starts off promoting his Miz and Mrs.?
Miz and Mrs., I believe it's called,
Mr.
Yeah.
and Mrs.?
No, I think it's Miz and Mrs.
Miz TV show, which is going to premiere in 2 weeks' time. I'm actually looking forward to
the
that.
The promo actually looked really, really funny.
All of the promos have looked really good. Yeah. And, like, The Miz, when he name drops it, he almost gets a baby face reaction. Like, everyone else is looking forward to watching it.
It's just...
We should do a review. We should come in at a weekend or whenever it's airing.
Yeah.
And it's after SmackDown, isn't it?
Is it really?
I think
maybe
so.
So no one's going to watch 205 live, because no one does anyway, and they're just going to stay in and watch Mr. and Mrs. as well. Ms. and Mrs.
Only on the USA Network. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be really good funny. Although, good fun.
Good funny.
It's good funny. What I will say, though, is that it's just amazing who can get a reality TV show in this day and age. Because it's not like The Miz is a massive star. Like, outside of wrestling fans, who is really going to be interested in watching this show? Because it's not like Joe Average is going to be tuning into USA and be like, oh my God, The Miz has got a reality TV show. Well, I better tune in for that. It's not like it's like The Osbournes, where Ozzy Osbourne was like a culturally popular name and people recognized and tuned in to watch that show. The Kardashians are a universally recognized name and people watch that show. Just surprised me the USA Network would commission a show based around a no one.
I see it as a spin-off from Total Bellas, because Maurice was on there, and then you get like Total Bellas, and this is like, even though Bellas hasn't been doing well in the ratings at all, and that's got John Cena and Daniel Bryan attached to it, John Cena being an actual mainstream star. I think it's off the back of that, although those are on E and this is on USA Network. But I'm happy for him, but he works bloody hard.
But it's not called Total Misses.
Yeah, well, because this is a better pun. I think the pun won out here over the brand. So Miz welcomed Team Hell No, who are, of course, fighting for the tag team titles on Sunday.
Team Hell No have, I think, possibly the new worst T-shirt WWE have ever released. It is ghastly horrible.
Yeah, it's not nice. I don't know what's up with their design department sometimes.
They're having a really bad year.
Look how beautifully minimalist the Balor Club design is. Where you could, well, like, you know, people would wear that normally. Like these Thrasher T-shirts that are everywhere now. That's a cool design that you don't have to be a skater to wear. But, yeah, this one, that's not going anywhere.
It's awful. Yeah. It's horrible.
This was just a nice way to keep the Miz-Bryan feud going. Like, Bryan was like, I'm just going to punch you in the face. And Kane doing the anger management stuff. No, don't do it. And they played that up. It was really funny. And then Miz rolls some footage about how good Team Hell No used to be. But it's actually just how many times Kane has beaten up Daniel Bryan and attacked him in the past. And he's like, oh, sorry, that was wrong clip.
Yeah, he calls out to Kerwin. It's a Kerwin, you're getting fired for airing that. And Bryan and Kane obviously see through this. And they're like, you're just trying to stir the pot. You're just trying to make us hate each other going into our tag time match, but that's not going to happen. And he's going to punch him in the face again, but Kane calms him down. And then Miz makes the very idiotic decision, classic heel, to be like, yeah, you listen to your big rig red idiot. And Kane's like, what'd you call me?
Well, before then, I can't remember the lead-in line.
Oh, it's because Miz said this reunion is like, it's like Justin Timberlake has reunited with NSYNC. And Kane was like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, JT's way bigger star. Too big a star now. And Kane delivered it perfectly.
Kane was amazing on this show. God, like, the segment they have later with the New Day is so funny.
And really, like, the NSYNC line, like Shlam the previous night, Kane's NSYNC low-key fanboy status was the best thing on this show, I thought.
Oh, it was
so funny.
It was
well delivered.
It was really, really great. And again, we were talking about the Bayley, Sasha Banks, Dr. Shelby segment of why those didn't work. And it's because, like, they don't have the comedic timing to make these sorts of segments work. You can't just throw any old people into it. Really?
That worked in spite of itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of people saying, like, if they'd have done the Dr. Shelby segments with Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman, they would have been infinitely better. because you had those people there that can work together on this. And it just reminds you how funny Kane's can be and what his comedic timing and comedic delivery is. Mm. And it's a stark difference to, like, in January this year where we were like, God, Kane's in the main event and I can't believe Kane's going for the title and all this. Now I'm like, hey, Kane's in the main event on TV again.
And he's going for some titles.
And I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, yeah. So in the end, though, Miz, like you said, put his foot in it and Kane turns around and starts choking the Miz. This brought out the Bludgeon Brothers. And then Sanity just appeared because, chaos. They start beating everyone up, which brings down the New Day because they're feuding as well. And I really liked seeing all these different components come together because factions. It made me think, I know there's tag teams really, but factions.
Well, also, what I really liked about this is that they were also very subtly underplaying a potential future feud between Bludgeon Brothers and Sanity, because the Bludgeon Brothers came out, Sanity then came out and made the attack instead, and Bludgeon Brothers were almost like, I mean, well, we're going to beat them up, but we're not happy that you jumped them before us. And there's like a great image on WWE.com of the Bludgeon Brothers like staring a hole in Sanity going like, can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
Like, and you have made it. It's like a Josh
Barnett.
We're
the Bludgeoners round here.
Like Josh Barnett at a G1 special. You done effed up, boy.
You done effed up, boy. God, I can't believe that's a shoot. Like, I still there's no way that's not a wrestling storyline.
I think that JR's injury is the shoot part of it.
But,
I
don't know what's going on there. It's fascinating, though.
Yeah.
So after this, New Day versus Sanity in a tables match was booked for the Extreme Rules pre-show.
Yes.
And a 10-man tag for tonight's main event.
Because Sanity versus New Day is just not as important as Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin to be on the main card.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, Baza Corbs is one of the best things on Raw right now.
Constable Corbin in his waistcoats.
Yeah.
Stealing Gareth Southgate's look.
Then we got
It's
coming home, apparently. Then we got the Rusev stuff with the Nakamura Styles match, and then the ensuing tag match with Hardy and Rusev. And then we got James Ellsworth versus Asuka.
So you weren't here last week to see the original version of this, because it was meant to be the Battle of the Sexes last week with Ellsworth and Asuka, but Ellsworth just ran away and they both got counted out. And
right.
Then Ellsworth jumped back over the...
The night after they did that with Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens.
Yes. And then Asuka jumped over the guardrail to chase up to him, and Carmella super kicked her and left her laying. And so when he went backstage, she was like, ha ha ha, look at us, we're great. And Paige was like, nope, it's going to be a lumberjack match next week, so you can't run away. And James was like, waka waka, wah wah.
That's a shame. This, I mean, like, lumberjack is outdated terms now. It's lumber person. that's what makes me sad, that they're still using these gender normative names for things.
I'll tell you what made me sad was seeing the entire women's division, which was like seven girls, all coming down together to the same music in pairs, looking like complete dorks. It just reminded me of WrestleMania 25 when Kid Rock's doing his concert.
That's weird.
And they all just came out at the same time for their big battle royal, and you're like, oh, this, you make them looking like a gimmick.
Did you do a SmackDown women standing round the ring?
I did not know.
You're welcome. So
it's almost like you should call me before I record so you can add in jokes.
Ellsworth comes down, and him and Carmella do an in-ring promo before this.
Yep.
And he has this great moment where he takes off his top, of course, to prepare for the match. And he goes, whoa, 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 calm down, ladies, to the women's division around the ring. Don't find me too attractive.
He's so good.
He'd been tweeting earlier in the day that he's going to beat Serena Williams at tennis next, something about NASCAR. And I was enjoying this. But what struck me was the crowd were dead. The crowd were not into this. And they were super into the stuff at the start of the show, the Rusev stuff.
Yeah, they weren't into this as much as I thought they would be. But I really enjoyed this. Like, he said that no one is ready for Asuka, but I am. And if you said James Ellsworth is, like, but as soon as the match started, he instantly just tried to bail. He just tried to get out of the ring, and Becky Naomi rolled him back in. And every time he got out, he just got thrown back in. And then the lumberjacks just all started fighting each other.
Yeah, well, lumber people, let's not offend
anyone.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
That was a bit just easy, wasn't it? It was a bit of a booking crutch.
Yeah.
And you didn't even really need to do it because you're just setting up the spot where Asuka dives to the outside on all of them.
Yeah.
Mate, you could just have all the women holding Ellsworth. and then ask that, like, the women didn't need to turn on each other.
No, it just seemed really weird because it was essentially they all just at one point were like, and now it's our time to start fighting each other. Like, yeah. There was no catalyst for it. It just all started to happen. It was really odd. Mm. Yeah, really, really odd. But eventually, Ellsworth got back into the ring, and Asuka threw him into Carmella, locked him in the Asuka lock, and he tapped out, and she wins. Carmella had handed Ellsworth some pepper spray.
Hairspray.
Was it hairspray, was it?
Well, I imagine I just that fits her gimmick more.
I said spray in the news just to be, like, you know, a blanket term. And so he sprayed her in the eyes and then got laid out with another super kick. And I said this in the review, I've also really enjoyed the build towards Carmella and Asuka. Mm. Because for the last few weeks, they've done essentially the same thing, but they've been building it each week to make you more frustrated. Asuka has always looked dominant in her segments. She has always looked like, I am the person who is going to win this match. I'm clearly better than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm faster than you and all this. But Carmella is the one that's always stood standing because of James Ellsworth's shenanigans. So it makes you as a fan go like, oh, if that Carmella needs to get hers. That's good heel heat. And I think that it's given the Carmella character some clarity, which I feel like she really hasn't had since she won the belt. So you and I talked about this, like, she was always billed as this undeserving champion, but then would have a match against Charlotte where she would essentially win fair and square. And you're like, well, so is she? So, I mean, she looks like she is a deserving champion. Now they can do it again as this undeserving champion who isn't on Asuka's level. And I think it works for her character much better this way.
I'm not as into it. Because I,
negative.
I know, right?
So negative.
I enjoyed the show. God. I'll preface it by saying I enjoyed this.
You are what people call me, a glass half empty kind of guy.
The glass is just double the size that it needs to be. We're rationalists, is the other version of that joke. Mm-hmm. I feel like Ellsworth coming back, and as much as I'm enjoying him, I don't think his particular act can get over unless he's allowed to hit Asuka in a match. Like, I think I was trying to figure out why the crowd weren't more into it, because James Ellsworth is a good heel. Asuka is a badass ass kicker. So why weren't they into this particular match? And I think it's because they, you know, Ellsworth's been neutered. There's no threat there. But if Ellsworth could lay in a few punches or just actually have some offense, he could really work the crowd and whip them up, because no one wants to see that. Like, that it's quite an offensive thing, and you could get some easy cheap heat. I understand why WWE don't want men on women violence like that way, but then don't book it then if you're not going to go through the whole thing. Also, I am more into Ellsworth versus Asuka, and I think Carmella has taken a back seat in all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not interested in seeing Carmella versus Asuka this weekend. And all the stuff that she was doing about, like, how she was the best female wrestler in the world, and she's better than Elsa from Frozen and Lara Croft and all those people. Beyonce, she said, that was a fun act because it was really hollow. But now James Ellsworth's doing that act, saying he's better than all the women. So actually, I think it's muddied Carmella's character and undermined it.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take, yeah. I certainly don't disagree with you either. I've just really enjoyed this over the last few weeks, and I'm looking forward to their match on Sunday, even though I don't think Asuka's going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Then we got the brilliant backstage segment with Hell No and The New Day, and it looks like it was in Kane's setup.
Yeah.
So some red lighting on the wall, just a nondescript kind of creepy area backstage.
And I mean, I don't want to give WWE too much credit for this. They managed to make five people in a very small space look like it was naturally set up. Like, they weren't just standing in a row chatting to each other like you and I do when we record this. It just looked like they had sat down in those natural positions.
It's a nice semicircle.
It's a nice semicircle. Yeah. They do exist in WWE.
And Kane and Bryan were bickering because, well, that's what they do. It was
so
funny.
They were trying to work out their strategy to beat up the Bludgeon Brothers and Sanity. And Bryan said, look, they're big guys. We need to go after their knees and take them down like trees. And Kane was like, no, we need to set them on fire. That's the only way we can beat them. And Brian's like, your suggestion is to just call up Satan and get him to open up a portal to hell. And Kane pauses and goes, I mean, it's more of a gateway, but yeah.
That was really good, that line. But then Big E is telling them all to get, like, are you going to do this? Yes. Are you going to do this? Yes. And he's riling everyone up in a very, like, Big E's a great promo. And then it gets to Kane, and rather than saying yes, he does this long line. which kind of sounds like Kane awkward verbiage. And I was like, that's weird for him to say that. And it's because Brian asks him after that, is that an NSYNC line? And Kane says, that doesn't take away from the point I was trying to make.
he goes, well, they still apply.
Yeah. So that was genuine. This was all genuinely good. Built the match, had comedy. Thumbs up all round. A flawless segment.
And I am also all behind Big E referring to Daniel Bryan as the Goat Face Killer. I'm well behind that. That's a great little nickname for him.
After that,
Goat Face Killer.
Ellsworth and Carmella are gloating backstage and they run into Paige. Ellsworth puckers up because women can't resist that man.
Well, it's because he and Paige have been having a bit of a... He seems to think that Paige is really into him. He's got it into his head that they are a future item. And he's the only one that he's going to allow to bask in his glory, as Keith Lee might say.
Again, which makes the Carmella relationship a bit weird. Because, I thought he's infatuated with her.
No, he's just a lackey. He's just someone that she can throw into harm's way and have him and have her win matches. Like, he just helps her win.
I just think it's a strange dynamic.
I much prefer this than him being in a dog collar.
I think there's a happy medium somewhere. It's like I like the individual components, but something isn't gelling overall for me. But this is where Paige reveals there's going to be an extreme stipulation for Asuka and Carmella.
There's a shark cage. He's going to be suspended above the ring, guaranteeing he'll get involved. It's typical babyface GM type stuff. It's like, you are being a real nuisance in interfering in matches, so I'm going to put you around the ring. I'm going to put you basically where you can interfere. Like, banning him from ringside keeps him away from the ring. But, like, I'm essentially putting you in the match.
Luke, people bounce off the ropes. These are kayfabe things we've just got to accept. I don't mind it.
I think it's going to be very funny, James Ellsworth being in the cage. And actually, it's just nice to see an match at Extreme Rules get a stipulation, because there aren't many of them.
They've been chucking them in this week, haven't they? Steel cage, table match.
Yeah, and suddenly everyone's like, oh yeah, it's called Extreme Rules, isn't it? Because I think there's the table match, the steel cage match, the Extreme Rules match between Nia and Alexa, and a shark cage.
Iron Man, if you want to count that. It's not really extreme.
Yeah,
though.
And then I think every other match is just a straight-up match. Mm.
So just under half the card, probably.
Well,
steps.
One of the rumours that was around yesterday by WrestleVotes is that WWE are thinking about changing a couple of the pay-per-views this year already, getting rid of some of the gimmicks, TLC being one of them.
Well, TLC's been moved to December.
Yeah, but even changing the concept of the show, so it's not the TLC pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
And Clash of Champions being the other one.
Oh, well, yeah. That Clash of Champions seems to have been dropped because TLC's been moved to that slot, but that's interesting. I'll add that to my news, actually, because that's what my story's on today. So do you want to hear my prediction for how Ellsworth's going to get involved?
Oh, I'd love to.
So the hairspray has been the Carmella weapon of choice against Asuka.
For one night, yeah.
Oh, was it not the previous week?
No.
Well, fair enough. It's a thing. It's been set up.
You're calling it your Chekhov's gun.
It's my Chekhov's hairspray. So Ellsworth is suspended above the ring. And the way shark cages usually work is the person in the shark cage will drop a weapon to the heel and they'll use it to win. Or the babyface will get it and then use that to win. So I think he's going to smuggle in a hairspray canister in the trunks.
Oh, I see.
Because he's Big Dick Ellsworth. He's the big hog, as Daniel Bryan has pointed out.
Okay.
That suits his character. I don't think they're going to do it, but that's what I would do.
I could certainly see that, but just as a counter to your thing, you said like a heel always drops something out. Sometimes they oil themselves up and slip out of the cage. They strip down to their skivvies and oil themselves up and slip out. If you recall that from last year.
That was a baby face in a shark cage. I don't know.
I don't know. Right?
They're all no longer with the company. That's what happens when you screw those things up. Now, you said earlier that Sin Cara and Andrade Cien Almas didn't fit on this show, and I agree, because it was a go-home show. This was kind of just a tie a loose end from something they set up 4 weeks ago. Sin Cara got injured. They couldn't have that match back then. So it didn't build to anything like Extreme Rules. But, my golly, for the 5 minutes they had, what a match this was. This was probably the best match on the show.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm actually going to take a different stance to you. I mean, perhaps I was just really sort of taken aback, I suppose, is a strong term. But Almas got zero reaction. Like, the crowd, like, there was not even a... There was no boos, there wasn't a murmur. There was just... It was dead. And it was a dead reaction for Sin Cara as well. They popped for moves, but they were just absolutely not into it. And I was like, I can't believe they've managed to balls this up. Like, within... Because this is only his third match on the main roster in 14 weeks. And you're like... How did you get this so right? He was there.
Look, that's the great thing about SmackDown. They cycle people on and off. And you don't...
Well, if you'd let me argue that point with a great argument to it, I might add. You didn't need to have this match. Because if you were just not going to use Almas in a role, because you are just cycling people in and cycling people out, don't just put him on TV in random pointless matches. Particularly in a match where Sin Cara took 98% of the match and Almas just won at the end with a couple of moves. Because this didn't do any favours for Almas. This isn't going to help him get reactions, because no one popped for the finish, no one popped for his entrance. He's got zero reaction. It's just like he is 100% cooled off.
Yeah, I totally... 90% cooled off. Okay. Because, like, you know, we said Eric Young losing, it's like Sanity's first loss, that's killed them. I don't think it has. So I think Almas can come back from this. But I agree with everything you said.
Yeah,
but
he can. Also, just need to bring him back into something, like an actual feud rather than just doing a random Sin Cara match.
But I also really enjoyed the actual match. I think Sin Cara looked great. I thought Almas looked great. I know he did, like, split-wise, if you're going to use it to push Almas. If you went into this not knowing anything about either guy and where Almas should be on the card, then this was a really good match. I did great double stomp on Sin Cara from the apron. That got a reaction.
Well, that's because But they popped for big moves. It's the 205 Live thing from last week. The crowd weren't reacting to the match. They were just reacting to spots.
Yeah. But hopefully in time. I thought they... They did enough to keep the plate spinning, but unfortunately the plate is, like, it's almost going to fall off there.
Wibbly wobbly at the moment.
We got a Sanity and Bludgeon Brothers promo next. Sanity were cutting what I've written as a Bray Wyatt promo.
They even said the term, "We're here."
So that was, from my recollection in NXT, they'd have different stuff in the background. It wasn't just black.
They essentially were set up in, like, a post-apocalyptic landscapes, you know, like burnt out cars,
and which is,
like,
cool.
Canisters with fire coming out of them and smoke and all this sort of stuff. This very much was just like a black out the room, get a little fog machine in there, and you cut your promo now. Actually, we've got this one recycled from Bray Wyatt. If you could just read that, Eric Young, that'd be grand.
I guess I can see some of the argument for it, because then the Bludgeon Brothers were going to come in. And it was more of a Bludgeon Brothers feel, that promo, like the setup, rather than a Sanity thing, which is a shame, because, like, they're quite similar acts, and you want to do as much to visually differentiate them as possible, and they didn't do that here, and I'm worried about them stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, and this again was like the setting up a possible future feud between the two, because they came in, they had this sort of awkward stare off, and that played off into the match itself. And it's just, I really think that Sanity could have benefited from different promo styles. You know, shooting it from different camera angles, different lenses, different effects over the lenses. Just give it a more chaotic feel, as opposed to just a standard promo that the Bludgeon Brothers might do, as you just said then. Make them feel different. It's why we were talking about this. We really liked the Usos promos last year, because they were in different backgrounds to everyone else. They were walking when they were doing their promos, and the camera was following them. It made them feel like a different team than everyone else on the roster.
Yeah, presentation's so important with getting wrestlers over. And NXT really understands that, and they put in the time to make everyone feel different and unique. But the main roster seems to be all about flattening them out, and WWE's the main thing. This then turned into Sanity and Bludgeon Brothers versus Hell No and The New Day for a 10-man tag main event. This was mostly adverts again for me. I never really got into the match. There was some fun stuff. There was the Extreme Rules promo shrink down, and then there was an ad break, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've more or less
written... Mr. and Mrs. advert as well.
My notes for this more or less are, like, it broke down into a brawl straight away. There was a moment when the Bludgeon Brothers and Sanity had a bit of a tense moment, like, tagging each other in and out. And also, there was a moment when, like, Killian Dane got tagged in, And the commentators were like, oh my god, it's the bulldozer from Belfast. He's this big, giant, screaming monster. He can't be stopped. And he does a rest hold. And I was like, what agent booked that?
Yeah.
Like, have him go in and do power moves against, like...
Headlock.
Exactly, just going like, oh, and a head crank. Oh, man, look at me, I'm a bulldozer. Well, like, that doesn't put you over as a bulldozer.
That was because it was going straight into the ad break.
Well, I know. Don't do that spot there, then.
Like, I'm Brucing. I'm Brucing up here.
Being such a Pritchard.
I'm explaining WWE's mindset.
So that was... And the other note I really had from this is, like, do you remember in TNA when Eric Young was their avatar for Daniel Bryan?
I wrote that as well. Like, Daniel Bryan versus Eric Young, what alternative universe is this? That speak about bizarro world.
It was like that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's from you a few years ago.
Young grout, his beard really big. Yeah. He looked like a carbon copy of Bryan.
Such a carbon copy. It was hilarious.
My other note on this is that at the end when it all breaks down and everyone's hitting moves on each other, it got quite exciting, as the multi-man tag matches do in WWE. Near the end, at least. And Big E sends, like, he does this flip on Kofi, so Kofi crashes into Luke Harper. And then Big E stood in the ring for quite a while.
Ages.
And it was obviously waiting for Dane to run around and hit that epic crossbody on Kofi when Kofi stands up. But Dane must have been somewhere else entirely.
Yeah, he missed his
Still
spot.
In a rest hold somewhere.
Neck crank on the outside.
Because it really took out the pacing of the match. And then when Dane hit that, he got in and Big E and him spiraled through the other side.
Yeah.
And Bryan got the win with the knee on Young. So that's two losses.
They are still winless on the main roster. Not the best way to bring them up. But I did say in the review that, in fairness, you needed to give Team Hell No the win, and you couldn't have them pin one of the members of Bludgeon Brothers because that's, you know, trying to set up their tag match this Sunday. So one of Sanity had to take the pin.
With, I disagree.
With that said, it's still really stupid because Sanity are winless on the main roster, and it really flattens them out and makes them look like a load of jabronis.
Why can't the Bludgeon Brothers have pinned a member of the New Day? Because the New Day and Sanity are on the pre-show.
Because you want to give Team Hell No the big win. Because they're doing their big pyro shtick at the end. And they're the ones, they're the act that you're really pushing at the moment on SmackDown. You want them to be hot going into their tag match on Sunday, which I don't think they're winning.
Yeah. As fun as the bit at the end was, I don't think that meant that justifies beating Sanity.
I'm just being a Pritchard.
I know you're brucing it up. But let's talk about that. So Bryan wins the match, and Bryan and Kane are on the ramp, and Kane's doing the yes chant, and Bryan goes, hey, wait a second, I've got this. And he brings his hands up like Kane and brings them down for the pyro. Nothing happens. So I'll try again. He does it again. Nothing happens. One last time. And Kane's like, it's not going to work. That's my thing. And Bryan does it, and the pyro hits. The return, Luke, of pyro.
It's amazing. I didn't even notice it had gone.
What?
I know. It was really weird because, like, when I was writing up my review, I suddenly thought, I wonder if everyone in the comments is going to bring up that pyro was on this show. And it just didn't even, like, it didn't even register with me that there was pyro on the show.
It's a big deal when it comes back. That's how much WWE sees in Kane. Not Bryan. Kane gets the pyro.
But I thought the gag was going to be that Bryan was trying to do it on the third attempt. Kane was going to be behind him and do it. And he was going to serve the pyro and be like, oh, yeah, mate, you did it. Well, yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the gag. But it was actually really nice with Bryan sitting up and Kane going like, what? What happened?
Yeah, it's like both versions of that are good.
Yeah.
But if it was me, I thought that as well. I would have gone with Kane doing it because I think that's quite... I always go for sweetness more.
That would have been a really nice moment.
Overall, this was a go-home episode. And I know I was critical on it, but I did enjoy the show. But for me, this was an average show.
There's nothing
wrong with being average. Like, sometimes you want to be okay.
It's what the Wrestle Ramble strives to be. Yeah. I really enjoyed the show. I've been really enjoying SmackDown as of late. I'm really into the feuds they've got at the moment. I'm so much more looking forward to their matches than I am than anything that is happening on Raw, with the exception of Rollins and Ziggler. That's about the only thing from Raw that I'm really excited about for Extreme Rules. And I think a lot of these matches are going to be really good, and I'm really looking forward to them. Jamie Chadwick has gotten in touch with a Rusev hey.
Rusev, hey.
Hi, Luke and Ollie. I saw that some people were posting their wrestling encounters, and I remembered mine, which is, however, it's a bit boring, so I'll understand if it's a bit S-word. Back in 2010, I was just a kid, and my family went to WrestleMania 26. Unfortunately, I don't remember much from it, but I do remember going to WrestleMania Access. Anyway, at Access, you can wait in line to meet a superstar, and for some reason, instead of meeting a big wrestler like Kane, we met some other wrestlers like JTG and Shad Gaspard. Other wrestlers we saw were Hornswoggle and Yoshitatsu. God, doesn't that just scream like the WWE mid-card of WrestleMania 26? But the best one was Goldust. I can already hear real Dan's Dan getting excited. When I was a kid, and a bit now, I was chubby and I had long hair, and I was called Princess a lot at theme parks, and I would get angry about it. So I was particularly cool. So he hasn't got a lot of punctuation here. So it was particularly cool as a kid when Goldust said to me, "You've got Hunter hair going on." Unfortunately, ooh, I lost the photos, and I'm sorry if this story is boring, but I thought I would share it anyway. Thanks, guys. Jamie Chadwick.
Hunter hair.
I like that Hunter hair.
Not Triple H hair. Is that what he meant? Or like, Hunter, well, I'm scared you might kill someone.
I there. Read it as Hunter hair, as in like Triple H hair.
Mm.
So yeah, maybe that's like the most ringing endorsement that a veteran can give you. Like, hey, you've got the same hair as my boss.
Hunter hair sounds like it's a thing backstage.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Oh, look,
right.
Someone's got Hunter hair.
Oops, someone's trying to be Hunter.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, like Bobby Roode walks in. Good job you shaved your Hunter hair.
I like that. Oh, we got an email here from who we've been calling Will. So we call him Will Height in the Patreon chat. It's a $25 pledge hammer dropped from a great Will Height. He actually messaged me to let me know that it's hate.
Oh, that pun no longer works.
I know. So,
was that Will Hate?
Yes, it was like Will Hate Me Not.
Oof.
Which we might have to change that to in the Patreon sync.
What?
Which is annoying.
Quite an aggressive last name.
Because Drop from a Great Height was such a good one as
that
well.
That was good. But you can have fun with hate.
You certainly can do. Hey, Luke, not Ollie. I wanted to share a throwback story from 2002, where my non-wrestling fan father met Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's right, it's another Rusev hay.
When were they hanging out? At WrestleMania 30?
30. Where are you, man? It's 2002.
Oh, 2002. Sorry. I thought it was more recent. Carry on.
My dad worked in Baltimore, Maryland, and is an excellent billiards player, which I think is pool.
It's pool in America, but it's billiards over here has no holes, I believe.
Hmm.
Whereas billiards
over
there.
Where do the balls go?
You don't. You knock it off the sides, and there's some like pillars in the middle of the table as well. Maybe it is this. No, because Americans do say shoot some pool, so billiards must be with
the
that
same
as well.
Thing. Yeah. Okay. Glad we had that. Glad we cleared that up.
It's probably wrong.
Yeah. One Sunday evening, he was out at a bar with co-workers, and Hogan and Austin were shooting pool. He's written here, shooting pool, as you just eloquently said, and had quite the crowd around them. My dad sort of recognised Hogan, but didn't have a clue who Austin was. And since nobody was playing them, he decided to challenge Hogan and Austin to a round of pool. Here's the best bit. After losing 4 games in a row, Austin got pissed off and left the table. However, not before buying my dad and his co-workers a round of beer out of respect. Hogan shook my dad's hand and left the bar. My dad called me the following afternoon after I was done from school, saying he played pool with Hulk Hogan and a guy named Wild Bill Austin or something like that. Still haven't still haven't forgiven him for calling him Wild Bill, but it's still a cool story nonetheless. Love you guys. Will from New Jersey, or WWE appropriate, Will from the New York area.
Oh, what a story.
That is a great story.
And what a classic dad thing to do, to just get it slightly wrong. Just wrong enough to be too close to right that it's annoying.
Yeah.
It's more annoying that it wasn't just completely the incorrect.
And what I love about that story as well is that we here as wrestling fans, he's like, he played pool with Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're like, what? No, what an incredible story. He's like, didn't even know his name. I just played pool with some lad who apparently is the biggest star in wrestling history.
Blimey. Two of them.
It's exactly two. Like two wrestling icons shooting pool together at probably one of Hogan's failing restaurants.
That's pretty badass.
That is pretty badass.
I think I've heard that story, but in Hulk Hogan's version, he won all the games and then beat everyone else in there, but then laid down for someone.
I think the story version I heard is that he snapped the pool thing.
Cue.
Thank you. just by holding it, just because like his biceps are so big, and then he had to use Austin. He like tipped up Austin's head and used him as one big giant cue. He's like, "Use me, brother. It's fan," and he used him as the pool cue instead.
Speaking of a cue ball head, that is Austin.
Exactly. I thought I was waiting for where that was going.
No.
I thought you were trying to say like, speaking of cue ball heads, you're losing your hair.
No, God, you are so defensive at the moment.
I am a little bit. It's Queer Eye, man. Oh, actually, I've got
how you brought that down. I mean, I am though.
Yeah, I am. So I'm going to a 30th birthday party this weekend at a very friend's a bit well-to-do from a very posh family, very very posh, big house. So they want to have it like a big grand affair. So the invite does say dress to impress. Now, I'm trying my best to be a better, sharper dresser, but I'm not overly sure on what to do. I'm still learning these sorts of things. So I did something that I never thought I would do and something I've never done before. I text my friends who are also going and said, "What are you guys wearing?"
Whoa.
Just to get a feel for the room, man. I text my friend Tom West and the husband of the friend's birthday and said, like, "What are you guys wearing?"
What would the old Luke have done? Just turn up in shorts?
No, I wouldn't have worn shorts.
I could lend you my jacket.
That's what I should do. I should wear the outfit I had for the Stephanie McMahon rap video. Yeah, I mean, they'll be impressed. Everyone at the moment is very much going on like, we should all wear waistcoats, though. We should all go like dressed as Gareth Southgate.
That's the thing.
I don't own a waistcoat. Mm. But I've got another wrestling encounter for you, another Rusev Hay, as you might say. This is from Steven Zucic, actually the curator of Rusev Hay. He was the man who snapped the photo.
I thought I recognised the name. Indeed. Who was a bit sad that we were mean about him.
Exactly, yeah. So we didn't mean to sound like a creep, but he has got a much better Rusev hate.
Okay.
And honestly, I would have started with this one rather than a Rusev story.
So he's got history. So he's going after a lot of WWE superstars.
That's not fair at all. Steven Zucic has written, "The time I met Eric Young and Aleister Black. My brother-in-law and myself bought tickets to NXT in Pittsburgh last year. Weeks later, his friend asked me if he wanted to go. My friend goes by the name Number Two, said a wrestler got in contact with him." hang on. "His friend goes by the name Number Two, said a wrestler got in contact with him on Twitter and wanted to see if he wanted to see him at the show. So my brother-in-law, Jesse, reached out to me." Are we all clear on where the story is started?
So Steven's friend is a wrestler called Number Two, and another wrestler got in contact with Number Two?
Yes, to see if he wanted to go see him at the show. So I think Number Two knows a wrestler in NXT.
Right.
Okay, so I think we're all right where we are here. Wow, here we go. Okay. So, Jesse...
Why don't you read these before we start?
I did, but I skipped some of it. Jesse, which is his brother-in-law, manages Anti-Flag, who are a punk band.
Okay.
Who Number Two is a part of.
Right.
Okay. Apparently...
Anti-Flag is... No, that's Black Flag, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Apparently, Eric Young is a big fan of theirs. Number Two has no clue about wrestling, but is excited to go. Even though we had tickets, we took EY's tickets instead. There are five of us in total going to the show. I'm the only one that really knows what's going on. Sanity were wrestling the champs, Undisputed Era. After that was an intermission, and sure enough, EY comes out to get us. We go backstage, meet him, and have a chat. Super cool guy, big hockey guy. As a hockey player myself, we chatted about that. Told him I was a big fan of his back in the day with his Don't Fire Eric TNA days. Then Aleister Black's music hit. As he walks by us, Young stops him and introduces us.
Whoa.
I thought it was the coolest thing. Black was, and in the caps lock here, extremely nice guy. I shook his hand and he ran off as he joked, "That's my music." After a nice 10-minute
That's
or so,
my music.
That's my
Oh no. I'm gonna be late for my match.
I would stop for a smoke and a pancake, but that's my music.
I've got to do the lay down thing, and I come up really slowly. It looks cool. You seen it? You come out later.
No man is ever truly good. after a nice 10 minutes. That was extremely racist on our part.
It's not. It's xenophobic, and it's just making fun of an accent. Although that's a lot better if we were to do other countries' accents. I'm not sure why one's wrong and one isn't.
After a nice 10-minute or so chat, number two asks to take a photo with him. After their photo, EY offers to have one with the rest of us. Such a cool moment. Like Luke says, a few minutes means a lot to fans. That's right, that's what I do say. Although, that's a tribute to Rob Zombie. That's who, you know, originated this. I don't want to post the brag story, but I had to redeem myself. Here's the pic. I'm the one in the AJ shed. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to read these. Sorry, it's a bit long. Sorry, I butchered your email a little bit, and sorry we struggled. But that is a picture backstage of Eric Young and their friends, and there's Steven Zucic right on the right to there in the red AJ Styles t-shirt.
Steven Zucic, are you sure you're not also Zack Ryder? Or related to Zack Ryder in any way?
He has got a bit of Zack Ryder about him, hasn't he?
Zack Ryder in his face. And that's not an insult.
No.
Because he is going out, well, was going out with Emma.
Yeah.
And is now going out with Chelsea Green.
Hey, man, I mean, that's a pretty good track record, if ever there was one. Now, we have gone past our marker.
How far are we?
Well, it's 23 minutes, so 10 minutes since the last one. So we're actually at the 10-minute mark. But
this is why you're not allowed to do the timings.
But would you like a poetry corner?
Go on, then.
From?
One.
Well, I've only got one.
Okay.
From Real Dan's Dad.
Okay. Now I'm interested.
Now he's interested again. Hi, Luke, and hey, Ollie. You asked me to do a poetry corner. I did not do one before because if there's one thing I can't do, it's poetry. Not even in German. So I waited for the right opportunity, and here he is. After a long struggle, I am able to announce something big to you in the Swaff Nation as part of the poetry corner.
Okay.
Destination ahead.
Mm.
It's the place to be, they say, so nothing could really keep me away. It's the one thing I always wanted to do, and well, part of that is meeting you. The time has come to do something out of the box. Time to do something that absolutely rocks. For first time to see this land, I am sure it'll be like the first time dinos were seeing Dr. Alan Grant.
Whoa. That's contrived.
I love it. Yes, it's true, if you will. It's time for the arrival of the mayor of Painesville. I'm hopeful to meet you, some wrestlers, even the guy named Callis, first name Don. It's time for me to come to Wrestling Media Con. Let's hope everything works out fine because you know, always the bridesmaids, something could still go wrong. Hopefully you don't bail out on the convention now. Best wishes, Dan.
Oh my lord. We're going to get to meet Real Dan's Dan.
The Real Dan's Dan is coming to Wrestling Media Con. We should put him on the website, really.
He's going to be a draw to the pod swafters and the after swafters.
We could get him a booth, give him a little table, get him to start signing merchandise.
Dan, you're going to be my Kevin Kelly for MediaCon.
Do you want to quickly tell your Kevin Kelly story?
Did I not tell it
No, you told it to me and Fakeador.
Oh, right. I was, so at the, not to trample on Dan's amazing announcement. I can't wait for that.
Well, actually,
it's going to be awesome.
You're putting it in conjunction, like in conjunction rather.
Yeah, okay. Well, that, yeah. So at the New Japan show that I was signing stuff at, there was like a Okada in the meet and greet. There was a Okada and there was Suzuki, who I accidentally made eye contact with and he just didn't stop looking at me. But I think he's got eyes that just look at everyone all the time. Zach was there, came over and hugged me. Will Ospreay was there. Just, you know, some of the best wrestlers in the world who I have really admired over the last couple of years. And by my table was all the pictures that people picked up as they went in to get them signed. I was like, oh, wow, that's a good one. That's a good picture of that person. What's Kevin Kelly doing? Why's Kevin Kelly got a picture here? And someone goes, oh, he's over there. And I turn round and I freaked out that Kevin Kelly was standing about 10 feet away from me in his suit. Like, what, do you want me to introduce you? I was like, no, I wasn't ready. No, I was going to be here. And he was the only guy, that and Pyro later on, but the only things I really reacted to properly in the whole day. I was, honestly, because, like, you know, it's like, sure, AJ Styles, it's almost too big to comprehend that you're meeting him. And it's just like, oh, cool, thanks to meet you. But if it's like a Red Shoes or a Kevin Kelly or a Callis, I'm just, yeah, those are my guys. I'm the real Ultimate Warrior Award. I like the people not in the ring. But yes, that was so.
Yeah,
but can't wait to see you, Dan.
But thank you so much for your Poetry Corner submission, Dan. If you do want to submit any Poetry Corners to the Wrestle Ramble podcast, luke@wrestletalk.com. I'm now out of poems, I think. So it'd be really good for people to get in touch with those. And thank you for anyone who got in touch with this. Stephen Zutchich, I loved your Eric Young story, particularly the Aleister Black moment. I think that was excellent. And anyone who got in touch with us.
And also, why not come to Wrestling MediaCon as well?
Where you can meet real Dan's Dan.
Yes.
And us.
And us, but we are now
second
Billy.
Yeah,
we're underneath his name in the poster.
Real Dan's Dan featuring WrestleTalk.
Oh, someone make that poster. I'll start tweeting that around. No one, who is this real Dan's Dan?
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing in wrestling.
Absolutely. He's the mayor of Painesville.
Yeah. He's got so many names. He's the no longer the bridesmaid. Yeah, so go over to Wrestling Media Con and get some tickets.
That's WrestlingMediaCon.com. You need to finish that off, otherwise people might go somewhere else.
Oh, Google it. Come on.
But that is all we've got time for on this long podcast. We've recorded about half an hour now. But thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you on Friday for our Extreme Rules predictions with El Fakador and see if he can finally become part of the WrestleTalk team. Otherwise, we're going to kick him out on his keister for trying to infiltrate us, the swine. But until then, I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.